You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
This is going to be great. Well, it is my honour to bring into land our Open Skies series, and we've been learning about our limitless God through the life of Abraham. We've been learning about how our God is all-powerful, that he's a God of the detail, that he's a God who'll never leave us and forsake us. We've looked at preachers like Look Out, Pastor Paul Reed. Can we give it for Pastor Paul Reed preaching brilliantly last Sunday? I wasn't here, but I've watched it back. And he preached from Genesis 12, what God is doing in you is not just about you, there's actually a nation to reach, that God is working in your life. We're going to hear about that today, but actually it's not just for you, it's actually for you to go, the Great Commission, go and make disciples. It's actually for you to go and make a difference in our nation. We've heard, look up, that God's our provider. You can go back and watch all these on YouTube, brilliant preachers from our team here. And I encourage you, whenever we do a series, don't just pick and choose bits from the series. Actually come to church for the whole series. And if you miss a Sunday, go back and watch it, because actually it all comes together in an incredible way as we learn about what God is doing through these scriptures. And the final one was look again from Genesis 15, that God is our shield, our protector, that actually he's brought us this far. And if he's brought us this far and we can look back at his faithfulness, we can have confidence that he's going to take us even further. And that brings us to today's message, which is look in. Everyone say look. Okay, now say it with a northern accent. Look. There you go. It's how my wife would say it. Look. And everyone say in. Look in. Today we're learning that God is working for us in our lives. Can I declare over you before I do anything else that God is working for you and in you right now? How can I have such confidence in that? Well, I'm about to read a scripture that tells us that he is a God who is working and that he cares about you as an individual. I'm going to read this, we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into this thing. Romans 8:28 in the Amplified says this, and we know with great confidence, everyone say confidence. Come on, say it like you love Jesus, confidence. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, pause. God is concerned about you. Take a moment to think about that as we come into this preach today, that God, the God who created the universe, is concerned about you. He's concerned about us. He causes all things to work together as a plan for the good of those who love God and to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Write it big and bold in your notebook. Today's message is simply, look in. Would you bow your heads as I pray? Father God, we thank you that you're here, that you're moving, that you're speaking. God, we pray for every campus right now who is watching this. God, I pray, would they know right now in Geneva, God, in Cardiff, Sheffield, North, South, in Chester, God, right now, would they know, just like we know in this room, that you are for us and with us. God, I pray, speak to every person in this room, from the oldest to the youngest, from the front to the back, left to the right. You have full permission for the next 20 minutes to speak. Would it not be my words, but your word? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Come on, can we give God some praise in this place? Come on, can we give God some praise in this place? So good. And can we just thank the band? These guys are done for now. Give it up for our worship team, brilliant job. Mary leading us in worship brilliantly and all the team. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a situation where context has totally changed your perspective? Like you got given some context and suddenly the situation or the thing you're looking at suddenly has a new perspective. I used to work in a shop when I first moved to Manchester 9 years ago called Top Man. And just by a show of hands, who knows what Top Man is or was? It's not a retail shop. It's online now, I think, in ASOS. That's worrying. We need to teach the next generation what Top Man was. Top Man was a great shop. They had Top Shop, Top Man. I worked in Top Man. And I worked around a few different Top Mans around Manchester. I worked at the one in Selfridges, Top Shop in Selfridges. Everyone go, ooh. That was fancy. That was a fancy one. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they came to shop there. You weren't messing around. I worked at the top man in the Trafford Centre sometimes, and that was pretty cool, pretty big shop. But the main place I was stationed as a top, I don't know if stationed, it's not the army. The main place I worked was top man in Bolton Marketplace. Now, Bolton Marketplace is not like a market store where we're selling like all the old top man stuff. It is a shopping centre that was redeveloped, I don't know, probably when about I moved to Manchester 9 years ago. And Bolton's an experience. Like, I now live in Bolton, hilariously. I said I never would, but Pastor Paul prayed hard enough. And now I live in Bolton, officially. And Bolton Marketplace, I'll be honest, okay? People just stole stuff. Like, you know, I'm not just saying it was the people of Bolton. People probably traveled in from Wigan and Bury too to steal. But like, you know, we've all got our issues. Lost a lot of the room. But, you know, people would just steal. And here's the weird thing about when you work in retail. You aren't allowed to stop them. Because of health and safety, like, if you see someone stealing, they say, just let them steal. You're like, makes no sense. But fine. And, you know, you let them steal, ultimately. And in Bolton Marketplace, it happened a lot. Anyway, one morning I was working, and I saw a suspicious character. She was probably mid-30s, late, early 40s, and I just looked at her, and you just know when you know something ain't right. Do you know what I mean? I'm looking at her thinking, okay, what are you cooking? Like, what's going on? And she's like picking things up and then moving them. So I'm like, firstly, that's annoying. I worked on that presentation. Stop moving my stuff. But also, she was like picking things up, putting them under her arm. I was like, okay, what are you doing with that? What if you just put in your bag? It all looked very suspicious. She was grabbing clothes, moving jumpers, picking this, that, the other. And I just knew, you're a thief. I don't know where she was from in Manchester, I'm not saying, but she just gave a vibe that she was stealing. And anyway, here's what I did. I thought, okay, she seems preoccupied stealing. I'm going to radio for security. Because if security come, then you can deal with the situation because they're allowed to, like, SWAT team, take her out. So I'm like, okay, radio, security, operation in process, yada, yada, yada. It's awesome. Anyway, they come into the shop. We see her. We're like, we're going to wait till she gets to the back left-hand corner near the dressing rooms because there's no exit there. And then we're going to swoop in. Like the SAS. Anyway, she goes there, we swoop in, and we're like, ha, caught you. Anyway, turns out she was actually our regional manager for Top Man, who I'd never met. And what she was actually doing is she was moving things around because they weren't set up properly. She was like, that's not right, that's not right. And she was picking out clothes that she wanted to go on the mannequins that we wanted to highlight in the shop. So I learned very quickly, as the context changed, so did my perspective. I went from thief to my boss. Context changed the perspective. A different perspective changes the way you think and act. You know, sometimes I think we allow our current context of our lives, our circumstances, what we're walking through right now to determine our perspective of God. I think we allow what is going on around us, good or bad, to shape and form our perspective of what God is doing in our lives. We allow our external environment to determine our internal atmosphere. I know God's a healer, but I'm still sick, so maybe he can't heal me. I know God's a provider, but I still have lack in my life. So maybe he just can't provide for me. I know God's all powerful, but I still have unanswered prayers. So maybe he's just not powerful enough for me. But church, I believe that we need to shift our perspective off of our external environment and instead start looking inwardly at what God is doing in our lives. Can I just say, God is not a distant God. He's not a far off God. He's not a God who only shows up in the right moments, the right time. He's a God that shows up consistently, always. We sang a song saying he's the Alpha and the Omega. It means the beginning and the end. And do you know what he is as well? He's the God of the middle. So in your life, you can take confidence that God is for you. God is not just for you, he is with you. He's not just with you, he's working and fighting on your behalf right now in this room. God is for you. We have to shift our perspective. Because sometimes you don't feel like God's for you because you don't see anything change in the immediate. Doesn't mean he's not working, fighting, and moving in your life. God is a God of the detail. Can I just say, the devil is not the devil of the detail. God is the God of the detail. God is the God who cares about your life. How do I know that? Because he knows every hair on your head. Bible said he knitted you together in your mother's womb. And if he did it at the beginning of your life, and the Bible says he'll do it at the end of your life, Alpha and Omega, he will do it every step along the way, for he is with you. God's fingerprints are all over your life. He's been shaping you since day one. He's been forming you since day one. He's not just working on behalf of our church. Let me just say that to someone in the room. He's not just working on behalf of our nation, though he is. He's not just working on behalf of Gen Z, where we hear that this is revival happening in Gen Z, though he is. He's not just working out there. He is working in here. He is working in your life. He is working for you, for all things together, for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. God is for you and he is working on your behalf. And you know, we see this in Abraham's life. We actually see a God of the detail, a God who is the Alpha, Omega, and everything in between. We see that God at work through Abraham's life. We see Abraham's life. God was at work before Abraham even knew it. God was working on his behalf. Before Abraham even felt it, God was working on his behalf. Before Abraham even saw something change in his reality, God was working on his behalf. And if he can do it for Abraham, can I just declare over your life right now, for you that have sat at the back and you've written off God, he's not forgotten you. He remembers you. He knows you. And if he's been working for you up to this point, you better believe that he'll keep working, because he never changes. His character never changes. He is a good God, a faithful God. And if he's done it before, can I just say, he can do it again in your life. He is a God who is at work in you. Not just around you, in you. And we see it in Abraham's life throughout Genesis. I encourage you, please go back and watch the other messages, because this alone is a great preach. But when you bring it all together, gosh, God really starts to talk to you when you start to see that working together, how he's speaking through every message. Abraham had God at work in his life when he didn't even realize it. Often the reality around Abraham looked hopeless and chaotic, but within his body, soul, and spirit, behind the scenes, God was creating a miracle in motion. He was layering promise on promise on promise on promise on promise on promise on promise. And at the time, Abraham's like, what's going on? But then as he takes his eyes off his current reality and looks inwardly at his God at work in him, he starts to see that each promise comes together as a tapestry, and that tapestry is called God's plan. God's plan for his life. And in Genesis 17, we see a crescendo of God's inward work being revealed to Abraham. And Abraham's perspective starting to shift off current reality outward to an inward confidence, God is working for me. As God starts to speak to him, his perspective shifts off what's happening around him, how he feels, and starts to shift onto, yeah, but God is in me, working for me, and he's in the detail. And can I just say, I believe that someone's perspective is going to shift today in this room. You think God's not working for you, but I believe God is going to shift something in your life so you can see that from the very moment he thought of you, before you were even born, he had good plans for your life, that he was working for you, that he was shaping something, forming something, layering promise on promise on promise on promise on promise in your life to create a tapestry called God's plan. Genesis 17, the band are going to join me. I'm going to give you 3 points and I'm going to pray for some people. Genesis 17 says this. We're going to read a chunk of scripture. This is Abraham. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and you will greatly, and I will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham. At this point, his name ain't even Abraham. We're gonna come to that in a moment. But Abraham falls down on his face. Do you know, I find that significant that he fell down on his face. What's he doing? He's taking his eyes off his current reality. You find that interesting. When you're falling down on your face, you can't see what's going on around you. Doesn't mean that that's not there, but what he's doing is he's taking his eyes off his reality and he's focusing in on what God is saying in this moment. And God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. Just clock as I read this, how many times God is reminding that God is for Abraham. He doesn't say I'm the God of everyone, though he is. He doesn't say I'm the God of the descendants, though he is. He says, you. I am making a covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham, but your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make the nations of you and the kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant, an everlasting covenant between me and you, your descendants after you for the generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give of an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And then jump down to verse 15. And then God doesn't just say this is for you, Abraham. He says this is for your family, your wife, and your son to be. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarah. Her name will be Sarah, and I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. You might not know this, but Ishmael is Abraham's other son that he ultimately had outside of his marriage. He took things into his own hand and was like, I'm not having a son with my wife, so therefore I've kind of got to force this thing. I've got to have a son. And he's saying, well, yeah, but can't you just bless that? And God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Audacious Church, I want to give you 3 things about God that we see in Abraham's life that I believe, I want to declare, is going to shift your perspective. It's going to shift your perspective from the outward chaos to an inward confidence as you see God is for you. You might not feel it. You might not be able to see it right now, but I declare over your life, God sees you and he knows you and he knows what you're walking through and he's got a plan. Here's the first thing you need to know. Write this down. God is working in your home, not just in our nation. God is working in your home, not just in our nation. Abraham hears that God's promise and plan will be fulfilled not by someone else, but through Sarah, his wife, and Isaac, his son. Abraham had written himself off. There was a promise spoken over him. You're going to be the father of many nations. And he ultimately thought, yeah, but it doesn't look like that right now outwardly. And he started to let that dictate his inward confidence. But then God's going, Abraham, yes, I've got a plan for everyone else. Yes, I've got a plan for the nation. Yes, I've got a plan for everyone who's existed. But Abraham, I've got a plan for you. He is looking at him and declaring over him, you might have written yourself off, but I haven't written you off. You might say you're too old, but I don't say you're too old. You might say I'm done. I don't say you're done, Abraham, because there's a plan. There's a plan. God is working in your home. Yes, he's moving in our nation powerfully through Gen Z. Yes, he's doing supernatural things in our church collectively. Yes, he's working through our young adults, youth, and our community. But you know where else he's working and moving? In your home right now. He's moving in your family. He's moving in your sons and daughters who don't know Jesus. He's working right now on your behalf in your workplace. He is working for you and moving through you. Why? Because he's a God of miracles. Not just miracles out there. Miracles in here. He is working in your home, not just in our nation. God doesn't just want to bless our nation. He wants to bless your family. That's for someone right now. God doesn't want to bless everyone else alone. Yes, he does, but he wants to bless your family. Mom, right now in the room, your son's away from Jesus. He's got it. He's got it. Sibling whose sister doesn't know Jesus, you've got a dysfunctional relationship with one of your siblings, God's got it. He's not just got it, he wants to bless you. He wants to work in that situation. He doesn't just want to work in that situation. He is working in that situation. Why? Because he's a God who works for you. Either the whole Bible's true or none of it's true. And if the book says that he's working for your good, you can take it at face value. Not just sometimes working for your good, but if you love God, are called according to his purposes, he is working for your good, in your family, in your daughter, in your son, in your job. He is a miracle working God. He was a miracle working God. He is a miracle working God. And he will continue to be a miracle working God in you. He is working in your home, not just in our nation. Sometimes we find it easier to believe for other people's miracles and have faith for that, but find it hard to have faith for our miracle. If he can do it for me, and he can do it for Pastor Paul and Toba and Amy, if he can do it for us, and he can do it for Abraham, and he can do it in every page of this book, if he can do it for them, he can do it for you. You just need a mustard seed of faith in your life for something to shift. You just need a mustard seed of faith for your perspective to go from mountain to walking through plain fields. He is working in your home, not just in our nation. In this account, God is looking right at Abraham and he's pointing, going, I want to work in your family. I want to work in your life. I want to work in your house. I want to move in you. Not just around you, but through you. And today, God's pointing at you in this room, saying, son and daughter, you might not feel it, but I'm working in here. You just got to change your perspective to see it. Second thing is this. Write this down. God's plan is better than yours. So stop doubting and start trusting. That sounds blunt. And I kind of want it to. God's plan is better than my plan. I can tell you, I've had so many plans for my life. So many. And they all sucked. They were good ideas. I don't want to live in a good idea. I want to outwork a God idea. I don't want to just live in good. I want to work through God and live in God's plan. God's plan for your life is better than yours. Full stop. Full stop. And it can sound blunt, but you know it's not actually blunt. It takes the pressure off. You don't actually have to work this thing out. You just got to trust him. He's already worked it out. He's already made a way. He's already working on your behalf. He's already making a way where there seems to be no way. He's with you in the valley and on the mountaintop. He is a good God, and his plan for your life is good. We need to be a church that says and believes, not my way, God, but yours. We need to be a people who say, not my way, God, but yours, despite what's going on around me, despite my external, not my way, God, but yours. Isaiah 55, 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Abraham was so consumed by everything going on around him that he starts to like barter with God. He's like, all of that stuff you just said, you descended there, sounds so good. But could you just bless Ishmael instead, and we'll do it that way? That's ultimately what he's saying. He's saying, yeah, this is all great, but I've kind of already got it sorted, God, so can you just bless that instead? God doesn't bless our shortcuts. He blesses his plan. Shortcuts are gonna leave you confused, lost. God's plan is gonna leave you confident and full of peace. God isn't in the business of blessing our shortcuts. He wants to bless and be faithful to his plan. Abraham again is shifting his perspective from outward. Yeah, but I've got this son called Ishmael. But I've got my own plan. I've worked it out, God. He's taking his eyes off that and he's looking inwardly and he's going, God, though I don't understand, though it doesn't make sense, though I've got a million reasons why this wouldn't work, if you've said it and spoken it into me and have been working up to this point, you better believe that I'm gonna put my trust in you, God. Taking his eyes off the external and fixing them on the internal of what God is doing in him and through him. Abraham is shifting from his plan to God's. He's looking inwardly at what God is shaping and forming, both physically in Sarah's womb. He's looking physically that something's gonna change. His wife's gonna have another baby. But also not just physically, spiritually, something's changing in him. God's doing something through him. And the third one is this, and then we're gonna pray for some people. The third thing that we can take from this account of Abraham that shifted his perspective and is gonna shift your perspective off of the reality, off of what's going on out here, off of everyone else. It's gonna shift you from that to this, that God's working in you, is this. God's presence is all you need. God's presence is all you need. Just take a moment to think about that. God's presence. Yeah, but Joel, I need to work out the detail. Well, I think you do. I think God will. Yeah, but I gotta get the right degree. Gotta go to the right uni. Yeah. I reckon God's got it. Yeah, but Joel, you don't understand. I've got this going, this going. Yeah, I know. Abraham had a lot of stuff going on. Had a lot of stuff going on. Read it. This guy was in a mess. Mainly caused by him and his shortcuts. He was in a mess. But the revelation that Abraham actually has and God speaks over him is that, yes, we're going to work out all of that stuff. I'm on it. But the thing you actually need above anything else is my presence. How do I know that? Well, in Genesis 17:1, God doesn't talk about all the detail first. He doesn't talk about, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this. He gets to that. But before he does that, he says, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Before God talks about descendants, nations, or land, he reminds Abraham, you get to walk in my presence. Before you do anything else, Abraham, just walk before me. And when you walk before me, you get peace, confidence, comfort, understanding. The real gift in this whole saga of Abraham is actually the fact that he has a revelation that his perspective shifts and he sees that God is with him and for him and that God's presence is all he actually needs in his life. God declares over him, you get to walk in my presence. You get to walk in my presence. Can I just say, you get to walk in his presence? Can I speak that over someone? God's not distant. God's not far off. If you are a follower of Jesus, you can enter the throne room of grace with boldness. What does that mean? It says you got the key. You don't have to knock on the door. If you love Jesus, you already got the key and you can walk in his presence and be in his presence and his Holy Spirit could dwell in you. Why? Because his presence is all you need. Here's the other thing. God takes it a step further. I love this. God doesn't just remind him that he's working on his behalf. He changes his very name so that his identity changes. He goes from Abraham to Abraham. There's a H added in. If you're not good at spelling. Notice as well, from Sarai to Sarah. Same letter. Added in to the name. In Hebrew, God literally breathes part of his own name, Yahweh, the H, into Abraham's name and Sarah's name. In other words, he takes his presence and he fixes it and intertwines it into Abraham's very identity and being. And you know what he's done for you? The same thing. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you have the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the same power that rose Christ from the dead is in you, dwelling through you. In other words, the breath of God, the power of God is in you and through you. You know all you need? It's the presence of God. You don't need another degree. The degrees are great. Go to uni. It's going to be good. You don't need a new job, though maybe you are going to get one. You don't need a new marriage. You don't need a relationship to make you complete. The only thing you need is the presence of God. And when you have the presence of God in your life, your perspective shifts off from you and off everything going on around you. And it shifts onto God and all he's doing in you and through you. You got to shift your perspective. When God's Spirit moves, everything changes. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, where's the Spirit of the Lord? If you're a follower of Jesus, it's in here. It's in you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You are free from your external environment. You are free from what's been spoken over you. You are free from how you feel. You are free from what's going on at home. You are free from what's going on in your family. You are free because where the Spirit of God is, the presence of God is, there is total freedom. Would you stand to your feet across this place? Don't just look at the blessing, look at the blesser. Don't just chase the promise, just chase his presence. Chase the presence of God. Funny thing is, you don't really need to chase it. It's already here. It's already here. It's already available to you. God is going to do a new thing in people right now. He's going to open your eyes to see that he is doing a new thing. Isaiah 43:19 says, "For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun it." What's new to you isn't new to God because he already knew he was going to do it. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to do a new thing, but I'd already begun it. Was it new or have you been doing it before? He's been doing it the whole time. Because what's new to you, God's been shaping, forming, promise on promise on promise on promise and detail and detail and detail. And then you shift your perspective and you go, oh, there's a tapestry called God's plan that I'm about to step into. He wants to shift your perspective. There's new joy in the room. There's new hope in the room. There's new faith in the room. There's new breakthrough in the room. There's new celebration in the room. There's new expectation in the room. There's new favor, new miracles, new peace, new oil, new purpose, new provision. And he's been working on it without you even realizing. New to you, but he'd already begun it. If you need to shift your perspective, you've been consumed with everything else going on. All the external, detail after detail, after trouble, after trouble, after pain, that's been your focus. If you're here today and you want to shift your perspective to look in and see that God has been working on your behalf since day one, then I want you to lift your hand and I want to pray for you. In 3, 2, 1, lift your hand right now if that's you. You're shifting your perspective, hands all over the room. Come on, this is a sign of worship. You're surrendering to God right now. Who else right now? You need to surrender. Stop living your way. Start living God's way. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, hands all over the room. Who else needs to respond in this moment? Who else needs to respond right now? You're shifting your perspective off of the external onto the internal, that God is working for you and through you right now. There's some guys who need to respond right now. And I just say there's some men in the room and you're not responding because you're like, yeah, but what will everyone think? Doesn't matter about that. You need to shift your perspective. Stop looking at everyone else. Start looking at what God's doing in you and through you. Don't let pride get in the way. Don't let fear get in the way. Who else right now? You need to shift your perspective. You need to shift the, yeah, hands going up. Hands going up. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, what a God.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.